Peggy yeah. Sue.
I almost wanted to take the that screen grab from the King of the Hill where he goes, Peggy, 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 oh Peggy, oh Peggy, 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 Peggy. That's all the song was. He's singing about Peggy.
Don't remember that.
It's like the first season.
Should I go back and rewatch that show?
King of the Hill's funny. There's some good stuff in there.
I remember liking it, and then one day I was like, you know what? Fuck this show. I don't know what it was. I don't know.
I guess I didn't watch the whole, like, from the beginning to the end, but I think toward the middle, I stayed right for 7 seasons. I think it was off like 15 seasons, something like that. It was on for a long time. Yeah. But the problem was not everybody's dead, so you can't really make that show come back.
Yeah.
Because Dale's dead, Brittany Murphy's dead, Tom Petty's dead. And the guy who did Cotton's voice is dead.
The only one left is Mike Judge.
Judge.
He'll do the Trey Parker from Matt Stone and Matt Stone from South Park and just do all the voices himself.
Right.
Oh, we're live. We're recording.
We're live.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to B-Movie Battle 90, Nick Cage Cast 65. Peggy Sue Got Married from 86 versus Moonstruck from 87.
Phoenix West. Interesting choices. Interesting choices.
Phoenix West.
Dick Ticket.
Hi, Dick. Yeah, I chose his two romance movies from the 80s.
And thoroughly enjoyed them both, actually. They're honestly, very good movies.
I did, too. They're both really sweet.
They're very good. They're very good movies, yeah.
This might be the closest of the verses I've ever had.
Yeah. They're hard to say who's better than the other. I think they're both equally good.
There is... I know which one has the better Cage. We'll get to that. But yes. When I was choosing the better movie, I was like... When I show my list, they're separated by one. They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
But Cage is definitely way better in one of these compared to the other.
Quality of Cage.
Yeah, quality of Cage does vary, but the movie makes up for one of them. But let's get into that. We're starting with Peggy Sue. First time, long time. What's your experience with this movie?
I saw it a long time ago, and I haven't seen it in a long time. Peggy so I'm kind of glad I rewatched it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very good. It's like a darker Back to the Future.
Yeah,
I feel like it's like in this time period for some reason in the 80s, there's a lot of time travel movies because you have Back to the Future, you have Somewhere in Time, you have Peggy Sue Got Married, you have maybe that's it. But there are those three big ones. There's three big time travel movies: Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3. That's included.
Hot Tub Time Machine. If you time travel twice,
that's yes. True.
No, it's just, it's what I call, and Adam loved this, it's what I call the 80s, 50s.
Yes.
The 80s were fucking obsessed with the 50s. And this is 1960, but it's the same goddamn thing. They were obsessed with the 50s. And I think it's because they grew up in the same reason, like, people nowadays are obsessed with the 90s.
Yeah.
And I get it, but when you watch it, it's all like 70s. It's in the 70s, sorry, it's in the 80s, but it has 50s aesthetics. And you're like... But it's not 1950 in the scene. Someone will have like a 50s car and they all had those red Chevys from the 50s. And you're like, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So did you see it all the way through? Or is there something you kind of just caught bits and pieces of?
No, I saw it all the way through once years ago. Really? We watched the whole thing all the way from beginning to end. Very enjoyable. I like Kathleen Turner a lot in this movie. She's very good.
She's fantastic.
And she's very good. And I like the whole, like, the scene. It got to me. The movie is starting to get to in there where the grandma, like, I want to see my grandma and my grandpa. And she tells them the truth and they believe her.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the best part of the movie.
Right.
Like, yeah. It makes sense. I think that's true. Yeah. Why not? She goes,
I believe you believe it. And that's all that meant. Let's go with it. And the grandpa just fucking goes with it and convinces all his friends.
And they're all for it. They're all excited.
They become like a coven of witches for her.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the movie, you don't realize that the grandfather is part of some wacky cult at the end of the movie.
It's like a moose lodge.
A moose lodge. The Shriners. Like saying, we haven't done this in 600 years. This is going to be exciting.
Oh, he's part of the Stonecutters, pretty much.
Basically, yeah. And John Carradine is the head Stonecutter at the end of the movie. His last movie, I believe.
Oh, really?
This is his last movie because I think they used the unused footage in another movie for him to be in this other movie that they shot around. I don't know how they got that footage, but that seems
to be honest. I'll be honest. He was so old, I didn't even recognize him.
He was done at this point. And I was amazed he was standing because he stood up and walked to the podium. If that was Christopher Lee, he was just sitting down in a bar. That was his last movie. And Michael Caine, too. He's just sitting at a table in Tenet.
I don't see Carradine on this list.
David Carradine. Or not David, John Carradine, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't see him on this.
He's in there. He's in the end of the
There movie. He is, okay. For some reason, Carradine wouldn't find it.
He's toward the end of the cast list because he's in the last part of the movie. But I think...
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, but I mean, just in general, Peggy Sue Got Married, strong, solid movie. Like, it's just all the characters, like, you kind of buy it, and you buy her problems, like her issues at the beginning of the movie, as she's having her husband, she married her high school sweetheart, and she's having major regrets for that. And so that's kind of...
Because they're divorcing.
They're in the middle, because he cheated on her, so she's getting a divorce.
With Janet. Who the hell's Janet? Later. He doesn't even know the lady yet. She's...
She thinks the Big Bopper's a hamburger. Yeah. I can't explain things to her. And that's what I guess his dad did, because in the movie, he says, I don't want to be like my dad, chasing tail to all the girls that work in the store.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did.
He also has a speech of, I don't want to just sell appliances the rest of my life. And then next scene is, I gave up being a musician, and my dad gave me 10% of the store. Isn't that crazy?
Right. It's great. This is great. This is wonderful. He loves it.
She realizes she's actually kind of causing this stuff to happen. Right. Like, just faster than it did.
Yeah. It just shows you that it's just fate. You're not going to change it no matter what. It's just, but you have to sort of, it's about acceptance. Like you fall in love with people, you accept them for who they are. They're going to fuck up, but you got to forgive them and move on.
And yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the movie basically is about. And they talk about the son. You never see the son
in
the movie.
Because I'm looking at a picture of Helen Hunt right here doing her hair in the beginning.
No.
And there's no picture of her son right there.
And what an interesting choice for that shot at the beginning and the end of the movie where it's that weird trick photography where it's from the mirror and they pull out of the mirror and it's basically... three actors playing two parts because the actress in the mirror is a separate actress. It's not them. And she's miming what Kathleen Turner's doing.
Yeah, we'll get to the end. I do want to show the intro because this is how crazy this movie starts.
Yeah. Mongo.
Oh, Francis Ford Coppola directed this movie, by the way.
Yes.
We definitely should
mention. And his daughter's in it, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
She couldn't act then, and he still put her in Godfather 3.
He still, half a decade later, puts her in Godfather 3.
He didn't learn his fucking lesson!
But this is the opening of the movie, and you're like, oh, okay. And luckily, they don't show Cage for a good while after this. Because he is doing a thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Here, Charlie, my fortune cookies.
Good run.
Thanks. What? Next week we'll be selling Sanyo remote control VCRs for $299. Look,
do you hear how racist this is?
You say racist. I say perfectly 1986.
Yeah, I see two white guys going, here, Charlie, open the fortune cookie. And they're selling Sanyo. VHS or VCRs.
And the fortune cookie's not even Japanese.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Or Chinese. It's American.
Yeah, it's San Franciscan.
Because that's what Iron Man 3 taught me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Iron Man 3 was the one that taught you. For me, it was one of those, like, things you didn't know things. I was looking at this.
Right.
I'm like, oh.
Dad.
Oh, no. I'll go broke. You'll give away Mitsubishi giant screen television.
Yeah,
so that whole opening is trick photography.
How?
If you keep going, watch, play it out.
Okay.
I'll show you.
Hold on. I don't remember.
This
the...
is what's whack. This is why Francis Coppola is just like, oh, why would you direct the scene like that? Because I could. Because why not? $1,299.
How no? Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that the Kathleen, that is her looking at the camera, basically. Yeah. And that's another
Mom,
actress.
Not looking. Please turn that off.
Because you watch.
She doesn't even, yeah.
She doesn't match at all.
This girl's way ahead of her.
Yeah, it doesn't match.
Yeah.
Very Stop good. Being mad at Dad. I mean, how do you think that makes me feel?
Cut. I'm cutting that one.
God damn it, bitch.
No, I wasn't. I didn't watch this scene that closely yet.
Yeah. I just read it.
I have certain.
Yeah.
Do the same thing at the end of the movie, too.
Okay, I'll check out the ending.
The hospital room.
I was watching this on my phone today.
Oh, yes. Fucking David Lynch gonna have a problem with you.
David Lynch is right.
Now, if you're playing the movie on a telephone, you will never in a trillion years experience the film. You'll think you have experienced it, but you'll be cheated. It's such a sadness that you think you've seen a film on your fucking telephone. Get real.
The best part is because he almost doesn't say fucking, and he's like, stops himself and goes, no, I'm going to say fucking. Fucking phone.
And he started coughing because of cigarettes. Smoking his throat was still there.
He smoked more than Rod Serling.
Oh, he smoked so much.
Him and Dave Chappelle.
Meditation. I used that to stop the cancer from going to my brain.
Him and Dave Chappelle smoke more than any two people I know.
Oh, Dave Chappelle is like, his voice isn't even the same voice anymore.
It's crazy.
It is now. You don't talk like this.
He'll be sitting there during his film's performances just the whole time smoking.
Oh, yeah. No, he just smokes like a train now. It's crazy.
I agree with everything you said about Peggy Sue Got Married. And part of the reason I liked it so much, because I've caught bits and pieces growing up. Like, I was aware of the movie and that it was Coppola. But I just thought it was, like, super romantic. And, like, when I was kind of, like, I thought it was way more upbeat than it actually is. And so when I bought all these movies, these Nick Cage movies, I went back and I watched it, like, from beginning to end. And I was like, that was pretty fucking good. I liked that movie. I was like, I did not expect that to happen. And that was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Was that it? All of the characters are thought out. Like, that's kind of the downside of Back to the Future, is everyone's kind of just one thing.
Right.
And Back to the Future. And it's a bunch better movie, don't get me wrong. But the characters, especially when they go back in time, they're just one thing.
Right.
And this one, you actually see them as people, I felt.
Yes, I would agree with that.
The dork was a dork. The super hot dude, Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connor, who's never been the super hot dude in any movie ever, and they make him like, oh, he's the one. He's the one that got away.
Yeah,
I always wanted to fuck him in high school.
Yeah,
huh?
She got to go back and fuck him.
FX 2, and Van Helsing. He plays fucking Igor.
The guy I said reminds me of Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
And you still know
I mean, I like the guy. He's a good actor, but sex symbol? No.
No. But he did the good, he did the guy that's obsessed with, like, Kerouac or.
Yeah.
One of those fake, wannabe hippie.
Hemingway's a macho bullshit artist, man. Yeah. And I don't need to kill bull to prove that I'm a writer or I'm a man.
Yeah, just one of those guys that's, like, so self important that they end up doing nothing with their lives.
But he ended up doing exactly what he wanted to do.
I did nothing.
Talk to me.
They get trapped in a house and forced to watch Nick Cage movies. No, I never liked poetry. That's the difference.
No, I don't either.
Other than there, sorry. Let me backtrack a bit.
Do you Beatles songs rewritten with instead of what was it? Baby, baby. It was ooh, ooh, ooh. She loves you. Ooh. Oh, no, no. I took out the yes and I placed them with oohs.
Is that a thing?
She loves you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. She loves you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The Beatles song that she wrote for him. And instead of, he says, I took out the U's and I placed them with O's.
Is it during this?
or Ooze, yeah. No, it's after that. He comes up to her. It's like towards
young
the
Jim
end.
Carrey.
Yeah, young Jim Carrey.
A young Joan Allen.
Yeah, not much prettier.
I have a kind of a weird thing for Joan Allen because I have a weird thing for Julia Stiles. And they're very similar.
Julia Stiles, I can understand. Joan Allen, no.
No, the thing, it happened when I was like, oh, I have a weird thing for Julia Stiles. I didn't realize that.
I can understand that.
And then one day I was looking at Joan Allen because I was watching Face Off, because of course I was. And I'm like, oh shit, no. She reminds me of Julia Stiles.
Oh,
and I was like, do I got a thing for her?
No.
Well, there's also
Joan Allen,
young mother from Seventh Heaven on the far right.
Like, Joan Allen is so much hotter in The Contender than
I like masturbating in a bathtub, Pleasantville.
Oh my god. Yeah, even that, she's hotter in that movie than Face Off. She's the antithesis of sexy.
Like, that's what I love when it's like,
I don't even know why she's in that movie.
Love to watch you go. Wow. Ass.
I hate to see you leave, but I love to I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. We've had this argument before.
Yeah, Seventh Heaven Mother.
Yeah,
Star Trek 4 also.
Star Trek 4, and in her husband in Seventh Heaven was also in Star Trek and also in prison for being a pedophile.
Yes. Even though he said, I don't think it's a pedophile if it's one girl and you love her.
And she's your 12-year-old niece.
No, sir. Still pedophile.
Sorry.
I understand you have different reasons, and that's what lands you here in front of my court today, sir.
Sorry.
I want to be that judge. You know what? I kind of thought it was going to be kind of greasy, too. And by that, I mean Grease, the movie.
Yes.
Which I can't fucking stand.
I hate Grease. I've never watched it all the way through. Can't do it. I hate musicals. I hate Grease the most. I really just have no love in my heart for Grease at all.
I've seen the movie a bunch, and I worked on the play. I was
spotlight
operator.
Oh god no.
And I was the center spotlight one, so I had to stare at the middle of that fucking stage and saw everything day in, day out.
Did you see that internet joke though? That's a pretty good one. Where they said it's an internet rumor that Samuel L. Jackson has a cameo in Grease, the movie. Because at the time, he was a struggling actor. And a lot of people were saying, like, a lot of guys at the time were getting their starts when that movie came out. It was shot in Hollywood, and Sam was around at that time. And so they go to this long diatribe about him and his career. And then all of a sudden, they show the scene. And it's the scene where, tell me more. And they cut to him saying, does she look like a bitch?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
It's so stupid. It's like,
I've seen that. I didn't see that preface to it though. I only saw that just a clip inserted.
Yeah, it's a whole preamble to that joke.
Got it. So that makes that solid. Well, but of course, YouTube and those people like on TikTok edit that part out.
Well, the preamble makes the joke work.
Yes,
better,
preamble, and that's what I've been trying to explain to people on why I'll never be successful and stuff is I love the preamble stuff, the setup.
Yeah, setup.
The
setup
long. That's why David Cross is one of my favorite comedians. The long setup.
Yeah.
To the stupidest fucking joke sometimes.
Right.
He tells like a 5-minute story at the end of one of his shows where he's like, you know, I went to the doctor because I was depressed, and don't laugh at that. It's not funny. Like, no, honestly, I was having a hard time, and he tells this long like. You know, and I finally turned around one day, and I realized I'm not depressed. I just had a rock in my shoe. And that's all he does.
Exactly.
But the funny part is that you were sitting there for 5 minutes invested in this story. That's a joke for him, not for you.
Well, that's like the Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
When he sits down and he reads The Great Great Gatsby all night long. Yeah. Pissing everybody off.
Oh, God, it's funny. Anyway, a really sweet movie. You never quite know why she's back. You don't know how she got there. You don't know if she changed anything. It doesn't really matter. The point is
hints. They have those hints at the end where they say, hey, that guy that beat Nick in the 50s that we knew dedicated his book to you. And I never knew him. I don't know why. It must not be me. But it's like, yeah, it was probably you. But at least kind of open-ended, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it might have happened.
Didn't you butt-fuck him in the woods?
He took me. He took me like a fucking animal. I loved it. I haven't fucked like that since before the girls.
I haven't fucked like that since grade school.
Since grade school, yeah.
What is that from?
Fight Club.
Yes, thank you.
I haven't fucked like that since grade school. Because the original line was, I want to have your abortion. They said that was too much.
And it's so much worse.
David Fincher said, well, I can fix that.
Yep.
Peggy.
Here it is. She fucks him in the woods.
smoking reefer.
Yeah, they're smoking the nothing joints of the 60s.
No, it wasn't from the 60s. It's from her dress in the future.
Yeah, but it's from the 80s. It's still nothing.
Yeah, well, that was more potent.
Dude, maybe. When I smoked pot in high school, like just after high school, it was nothing. And then weed. Fucking nowadays, you do it, you lose your goddamn mind.
Well, that's the problem. Now it's so potent.
It's insane. Like, I thought it's the same thing. And I took two hits, and I'm like, oh, God.
She threw time.
What the fuck is this? Like, my phone is going 3D. And I thought the ceiling fan was attacking me.
You woke up, and F. Murray Abraham was holding you, saying, are you okay? Jesus.
He's my... Speaking of Fight Club, he's my my power animal. Slide.
Yes.
He's my...
Slide.
Slide.
I guess he's in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And they have a fight. It's pretty fun. I watched that the other day. There was this
I'm
scene
so far behind on that show.
F. Murray Abraham and Larry David, because he said something about his pants. And he says, what do you care? What do you care about my pants?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious. I don't know why you don't change them. So what? And it's just this big argument. It's so stupid. And he goes, don't F. Murray me. Don't F. Murray me. Or something like that. He was saying something like that about him, and it was hilarious.
Look at this hot man.
Like, he's not, I don't understand that at all.
It's
a super stud.
Beatnik attraction. I get it. But they talk about, and he's like doing like the picture they see in the beginning, he's like doing track. Does this sound like a guy that does track to you?
No.
Right. I'm so confused by this character. Here, he butt fucks her. He just flip her over.
Oh, Pegasus, my peg, ooh.
Yeah.
And I love you, butt. And I put it in there and I strut.
Oh, this scene's really good. I like this scene.
I love you, Peggy.
This is, I was a little confused about how violent he is in both these movies to his women, and they still fall in love with him.
Well, he stops himself. He does. There's that edge to him, and that's what they like, is that edge of violence, of domestic violence.
Well, to me, I'm like, okay, he didn't hit me this time. It's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. And it's this shot, it's a see-through gown on her, by the way.
I don't want to see Kathleen Turner naked.
She's not bad. This is her in her prime. It ain't her today, where she looks like a fucking...
Speaking of cigarettes for lunch.
She smells like a camel, the cigarette.
I think we need to put her in that list of people who smoke more than anyone.
Oh, probably.
Her voice is completely gone.
My name is Kathleen Turner.
Even in Serial Mom, which is only like 8 years after this, her voice is gone.
I'm Kathleen Turner, and I was in Pace Who Got Married. I really enjoyed working with Nicolas Cage.
Romancing the Stone.
His voice was very interesting. His voice choice was very interesting for the character. Do you mind if I have a smoke?
Why do you have to talk about yourself in the third person like you were Napoleon?
Look at his horror music.
Yes!
That's what I said. I like this scene. He's doing something here in this scene. It's very strange. Yeah.
Why does everything have to be an argument with you?
Look, I've got the hair. I've got the teeth.
Look outside. You see the car? The voice.
It works, though.
I've got the eyes. Well, Peggy, look outside that window. I've got the car. I'm the lead singer. I'm the man.
What? I'm the man.
See, I think that voice works because it shows you how pathetic he is.
Yeah.
And, like, that voice is actually... Now, I know because of reading all the IMDb stuff. He almost got fired over this.
Uh-huh. And that's his uncle directing.
Even Francis McCole was saying, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to tell him. Okay. But again, if they fucking let his fucking daughter act in the movie,
yeah,
they can't say shit about Nick
Cage. We should
probably
show her, right?
Oh, she's terrible. Oh, wow.
I literally rewound to a random spot and hit the exact moment she walks in the frame.
Yeah, I mean, she's a terrible actress. She's terrible.
She does every line like this.
Why don't we tell this?
Yeah. You do Natalie Portman retard voice.
Oh, my baby sister.
She looks nervous.
Oh, honey.
Well, she's nervous because your sister never did this.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you.
What are you doing?
Are you acting on me?
Mom said you were sick. You're never happy to see me.
You're never happy to see me.
And you know what the thing is? Not her fault.
No!
Not her fault at all.
No, don't put your fucking kids in your movie.
I just watched that Nickelodeon Quiet on Set documentary on HBO.
Fantastic.
Yes,
fantastic.
You see it?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. But I'm...
I hate
it's
kid
the
actors.
Thing I have with kid actors is it is never once, ever, ever been the kid's fault.
No.
With a performance. Right. Sometimes they're asking for it sexually. I'm not denying that.
That's
no, but no, but seriously, if the Jake Lloyd situation,
right?
It's not. It's a fucking child. He shouldn't be there. No. You have to. It's the director's fault. It's the parents' fault. Fucking, if their kid sucks, don't let them fucking do it. Because yeah. This is what's gonna happen: is two men in their 40s are gonna sit there and watch them and tear them apart.
Anally.
I mean, she's an adult now. I hope you mean. And what is she wearing?
She's a Girl Scout.
She has the least amount of badges for any Girl Scout I've ever seen. Well, she doesn't have her acting badge.
She really was never a pretty person.
No, it's and now she does the worst goddamn movies.
Now she makes movies. Well, she gets the Oscar nomination every fucking time she makes a movie.
Yeah.
I guess, okay, she's, but I didn't mind Somewhere. I did like Somewhere.
I
didn't like the Bling Ring. I think Bling Ring sucked.
I've only seen the one. The Virgin. No, not
Lost
the
in Translation.
Lost in Translation. That's the only one I've seen.
And even that one's overrated. That one's
I only watched that one because Bill Murray. Fine. And I was like, oh, that was a good movie.
It's basically her fucking true story about being married to Spike Jones. And that's all the movie really is. That's why it's interesting. Because that was her life with Spike Jones. Because Spike Jones is this wacky fucking weirdo.
Did she meet him in Japan and just did he hung out there in a hotel?
I think something like that. They were married to each other for a while.
I saw that movie in the theater.
I think I saw it too. Yeah, we all did.
Did we see
school.
That?
Yeah, because it's film school.
I was just remembering that.
2003.
That. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense then. Yeah, we probably all saw.
That was when we were all in LA. Yeah,
I think, and I'm pretty sure it was a free one.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
I only went because Bill Murray is in it. I was like, yeah, Bill Murray movie. All right.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I've seen it since then.
Well, Remco has seen it every week.
I think Remco
he fucking loved
her.
That movie.
This is a wonderful film. Oh my God, so good. I love this film. It's wonderful. Wunderbar.
Are we done with Peggy Sue? We need to move on. It's
well, we haven't talked about Nick Cage. The performance, this choice.
Do you want to do that now? Oh, we can do it now. That's fine.
Well, I think so because it's pretty important to the movie.
So
like I said,
real quick, before we get to Cage, two actors won Oscar. No, sorry, that's Moonstruck. Never mind. Not this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Thinking of the other movie.
Well, it makes sense because it ties into it. Because this is right after. And even Moonstruck, they didn't want Nick Cage to be in it. Cher basically said, hire him out.
Yeah.
And Cher's the reason he got that job. Because Cher said, I think he's good. Let him be in the movie. But this part, this voice that he uses, I think, like, the first time I saw the movie, I didn't like it. But now that I saw it again and I know what he did, I kind of think it makes the character better. It makes him more vulnerable. It makes him, like, you kind of feel bad for him because he's just a kid who's trying to have a big dream and his dreams don't come true.
Yeah.
And he's heartbroken over it and it's really sad.
Try to keep that in mind when you watch his voice in this movie.
Oh, no, I remember that. I saw that movie. Yeah, I know that movie. What are you talking about? I'm going to kill Saddam Hussein. I'm going after Osama bin Laden. Okay, I'm going over to Iran. Or whatever you got.
Yeah, let me play a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
This is
the comparison shop. And then three, settle down and get married.
Why wait? Why not break up now?
Because we got the prom coming up. and all these parties. We don't want to upset our parents.
They'll learn to live with it.
Yeah, you get the idea of the voice. Let's swap over to this.
Come on, Peggy. Okay, I wish I could do that voice. I can't do that voice. There he is.
I had so many fantasies about you in high school. I must have gone through about 100 boxes of Kleenex.
Damn it, I never know which one to do. So now I know. Keep this in mind. It's the Chrome tab, not the window.
Fantasies about you in high school. I must have gone through about 100 boxes of Kleenex.
That is disgusting, but I'll take it.
All right, you get the idea of the voice.
Well, yeah, same voice, basically.
Russell Brand plays God.
Well, his mind, his brain. It's so fun. That movie was actually not terrible, Army, but it was kind of funny. There's some funny parts.
Oh, my God, we had someone that was actually watching the Twilight Zone because they said, button, who's got the button?
Oh, my God, do they really? Actually, that was some sex bot just mimicking me.
No, I mean, that was an actual person.
Weird.
Right? Again, it's the only show we have that anyone gives a shit about. This one is just for us.
They're all just for us.
I agree. The Nick Cage voice, at first I was really bothered. And then, honestly, he doesn't change the voice through the movie.
No.
But you start to just not notice it.
Yeah.
It becomes less obnoxious. And I think it would work just as fine without the voice.
I don't know. I don't think it does. If it was just a normal Nick Cage performance, I think it doesn't do anything. It kind of it'd be boring. I think it makes it more interesting with that voice.
It kind of resonates with the new movie, his newest movie that we watched.
I lost my hand!
What's that newest?
I lost my love!
Dream scenario, where I'm kind of like...
Yes.
He's doing this voice thing just for attention for the character, and it's kind of see-through. Right. And I felt this similarity with this one. Well, this is just him doing that because he wants to do it, and it catches attention to him.
Right.
With that being said, I'm not tearing it down. I do think he's very enjoyable in the movie. But I don't think he needed to go as hard as he did, and he put on that fake nose. I don't know why. Just strange.
What did you not say? He's doing his Redfield.
What?
He's doing his Dracula impersonation in Pigs Who Got Married. When he comes in through the bedroom window, he's doing his Dracula move.
And I guarantee that was not in the script.
Of course not. I thought it was funny because it was like he's been wanting to play Dracula for that long.
Yes.
And he finally got to do it last year.
And he fucking killed it in that movie.
It's so great. It's so funny. I got to buy that one on Blu-ray. That's worth buying, I think. That's a good one. That's a fun movie.
It's super cheap, too.
Yeah, okay. Nobody buys Blu-rays anymore.
Yeah.
Renfield.
I also loved this scene. Right here. Where she's drinking.
Yes.
And her dad's like, are you drunk? She's like, I've had a day. And he just walks back inside and gets more.
Well, I guess there's a whole subplot cut out of the movie about the father and how he has the hat business. And his business goes down the tubes when Kennedy becomes president because everyone stops wearing hats after that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they said she tries to warn him, and he doesn't listen to her. And in her, her future and her past, like she could have fixed her present if he would have listened because they would have gone broke. Because I guess her family goes broke. It's the dad's fault.
And I guess in the original script, there's a whole subplot. It is barely in this one about the pantyhose.
Yes.
I guess she actually invests in that. And
she's making pantyhose in her room.
Yeah.
You see that in the scene.
I mean, this one, it's just kind of, it's set up, but it doesn't really go anywhere. But I'm fine with that because it becomes of.
Makes sense.
It becomes more of like, I'm not here to change that. I'm here to cope with what I've become.
Right.
And I kind of find that more satisfying than.
Well, yeah. It's about her coming to terms with her choices in life and
it's,
how she, they're mistakes, but they're, it's fate. Like you're there on purpose. Everything happens for a reason, and this is what happened. You still love him. Like she loves her husband. She still loves him. At the end, she even does too.
And I like
she
that forgive him. She has some lines where she goes, "I didn't realize this is who you are."
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's kind of like,
as time goes on. Yeah.
And that makes her fall in love with him all over again because of how good of a guy he is.
And the locket is the key because remember at the beginning, she's like, oh, the locket. Yeah, it's my baby daughter, my baby son.
Yeah.
And actually, no, it's not. It's her and him, because he bought it for her on her 18th birthday. She forgot about that, because that's what he says. But the locket, that's me and you.
Yeah.
I got it from your parents.
Yeah, it's just, it's a really sweet. And I like the time travel elements in this more than Back to the Future.
Yeah.
It's a lot more.
Well, it resonates more.
It resonates more, yeah. Because Back to the Future is not really about that.
Back to the Future is just a comedy, fun movie. It's a blockbuster. It's designed for a mass audience, and it's just a fun movie. And it works because Michael J. Fox is so good in it. Because you didn't do it with Michael J. Fox, it would have been a completely different movie, and no one would have liked it.
Yep, watch those outtakes.
Nobody likes Eric Stoltz.
6.4 on IMDb, which I think is really low.
I'd give it a 6, but maybe a 7.
I give it a 7. Give it
7. Yeah, I think 7 works.
I'll be honest. I liked this more the second time I watched it all the way through.
I would agree.
It's kind of one of those movies that's creeping up on me. And I was more in when she meets up with the grandparents, and I was like, I got choked up.
Yeah.
It's like, if you were to time travel and be able to visit dead people, and you just want to tell them what happened so bad, I think anyone can relate to that. And they did such a good job with this. And it makes you wonder, how did Francis Ford Coppola forget how to make a fucking movie?
Well, he's making his last movie right now.
He keeps saying
Megapolis.
Texro or whatever. What's that?
Megapolis is happening.
Is he gonna merge with the Cosmopolis stuff from?
No, it's Megapolis. It's whatever that. It's about the making of a city, and Adam Driver's in it, and a bunch of actors are in it. They're making it right now. They're shooting it right now. The trailer, I think, is gonna come out in Cinecon.
He's not gonna be happy till Adam Driver dies of a heart attack, like Martin Sheen did. I want to finish killing him.
I want to kill an actor in a movie, just like
so close with Martin Sheen.
Damn it, Harvey Keitel quit. I couldn't kill him either. He didn't die. Right. Dennis Hopper outlived me too, bastard.
Other way around.
Yes.
Let's get over to Moonstruck.
When the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, that's more.
This is Italian porn.
It is. This is my big fat
my big fat ass wedding.
I always thought these guys were Jews. They were so complaining and fucking just. This was like.
Well, you think they are because the director's name is Norman Jewison.
Yeah, and he also directed Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, he directed a bunch of stuff.
He's directed a lot of stuff. Yeah. Norman Jewison is a hell of a director.
Been around forever.
I like a lot of his movies. He's very good. He's dead. He just died not too long ago. He did about 90 something. He was old. He had a good run, bastard. Good run.
You see who wrote this?
Yeah, it's some guy.
John Patrick Shanley. It's not some guy.
Yeah, he wrote Joe vs. Volcano.
Doubt.
And if Doubt. He's written, he's a playwright.
Yeah.
Well, let's not. Please, Congo.
Alive.
Excuse me. Congo. He's written Congo.
The man wrote Congo.
The man, he won the Oscar for Moonstruck, but he wrote Congo.
He wrote a role for Ernie fucking Hudson.
That's right.
Okay. And Tim Curry.
Mr. Homolka, stop eating my sesame cake.
He wrote all the dialogue for that monkey.
Well, I don't think he did. It was rewritten by 500 other writers.
Yeah.
Bad monkeys. Bad. Michael Crichton got his cut. Bad too. Monkey.
Moonstruck, I really thought I was going to hate.
I saw it again. This is like, I think I remember seeing this movie through osmosis because my parents used to watch it. And my mom and dad liked it. And it's actually, now that I'm older, this is a great movie. This is a very good movie. This is like, I understand why it won Best Screenplay, nominated for Best Picture, won Best Actor Awards for Cher and Olympia Dukakis.
Yeah.
Who I had worked with before. I worked with Olympia.
She seems like she'd be nice. Please don't tell me otherwise.
I didn't say a fucking word to her because I didn't speak. I left her alone. She was sitting next to me in a chair. I was like, oh, good morning. Good morning. And that was it. I didn't say anything else.
She wasn't over there going, this fucking bagel.
This bagel isn't cold. Isn't warm enough. No, I had to go sit on top of a man from 90210.
Luke Perry? Did you kill Luke Perry?
No, Troy Donahue. He was in the new 90210.
Oh, the new one.
I had to go lay on top of him naked, shirtless, for a movie that we did.
This.
And I still never got paid for it, by the way. Never got paid for it. sign a contract. If there's money, you'll get paid. I guess there was never any money. I never got a fucking dime.
Did you do a porn with a guy from the new 90210?
Olympia Dukakis wouldn't be in a porn. No, I had to cover for a Japanese guy that was like my size, but like me. So I was basically his body double.
Yeah, but Japanese guys don't have a lot of back hair. How do they cover that up?
Well, did they wax you? I had to shave. I did shave. So
okay, that answers my question.
It was shaved, but yeah, again, don't.
Did
ask.
They shave you on set?
I never watched it. I never saw the movie. I never saw how they put it all together.
Oh my God!
I'm
please.
Sure it's on YouTube.
Let's look it up.
It's called Birds of a Feather.
Birds of what year?
It's got 2011.
2013.
Yeah, 2013. We made it in 2011, 2012, that time period.
Oh my God, this looks like... you did a porno.
What was that?
Are there a lot of black people in it?
I don't think so.
It's not this then. Okay.
Birds of the Feather, N-word.
What's the guy's name?
I played a person called Takashi.
No, the 90210.
Oh, Troy Donahue. He was very nice guy. And he still works, I think. He actually has a decent career going on for himself. But he was a handsome guy. He's a good looking dude.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
It was a movie. It's like it's very independent. I don't even know if you call it a movie, but it's a movie.
I'll save it on the side.
Yes.
I need to see this.
it's on my IMDb page.
Okay.
Yeah, just look at mine. It's there. You'll see it. It's in the movie section. The movie section.
Most of your IMDb pages, my stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. I've accepted that.
Birds of a Feather. Here we go. 2011.
Yeah, right there.
Takashi. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was my life for about 3 weeks.
Not bad. All right. I'm curious. Okay, so Moonstruck. On paper, this sounds like a movie I would absolutely despise.
Exactly.
I would, again, Big Fat Greek Wedding comparisons. It's the same fucking movie. Just for some reason, the witty dialogue everyone has, and honestly, Cher, which I never thought I'd say. Cher is so fucking good in this.
Yeah.
She starts off annoying the hell out of me. But after the first couple scenes that she's in, you get used to her character.
Yeah.
Because their opening scene with Danny Aiello was...
Yeah, what's this?
It's
awkward.
Not how you do it. You get on the knee, you give a ring. Yeah, it's like, just, it's so overbearing. But after that, because when Nick Cage proposes later, she's just like, yes, I'll marry you.
No, but I love that part where John Mahoney goes, is he praying? Is that guy praying?
Yeah.
He says there's no chemistry between these two characters.
Yeah.
But that's on purpose because they're not, she's just settling because she thinks she's got bad luck.
They're both settling.
Her ex-husband got hit by a bus, so she just thinks she's cursed.
She's settling for him because she's 37 and still living at home. Her husband died.
Right, yeah, but her home in New York City is like a fucking 5-bedroom house in the middle of the city. It's probably worth about $4.5 million.
Yeah, but he's also using her because he thinks his mom will get better if he gets engaged.
Right.
But turns out, the engagement saves her life.
No. He thinks she's going to die.
Yeah. So he wants to give her that.
If she dies, he can get married. That's what it was. She's going to die. So that allows him the freedom to get married because he doesn't have to take care of her anymore. But she's in Naples. So he has to go to Italy. And then he basically tells her, he sets up his own destruction basically because he says, I want you to go to my brother, my estranged brother, and invite him to the wedding.
Mend that relationship.
I have to, and it's actually I what makes the movie better to me and why the movie's so good is because it feels like it's more realistic because in a situation like that, I think that any human being would probably do that. It's like, I don't really love her. If you love her, that's great. I'm not mad at you because you stole her.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy that you found her because I didn't know what to do with her.
I've had exes where we broke up and they get married and I'm like, good for her. Like,
right. Yeah.
I couldn't have done like
times. Yeah.
It's just that's how you should be. I'm not fucking no, like no. Yeah. It's good for them. Honestly,
yeah.
Like
no,
I don't hate.
I got one ex who's getting married to a woman.
Oh, Dick.
There's that. I got that on my case now.
You got that on your resume.
I got that.
Put that right above a bird on a wire or whatever.
Yeah, birds with a feather. This is a Japanese man.
She meets Nick Cage. He calls him first, and then she goes down to his job. And apparently he still works like where slave labor is legal.
Yes, yes.
He's working in like the basement making bread.
But he lives in a $4,000 a month apartment.
But he lives right above the bread factory.
Yeah, he lives above the bread factory. Yeah.
He's like, my backstory is he was cutting bread. Danny Ayo's telling me about his last wife. He distracts me, tells me, look here, I cut my fucking hand off. And he's pissed about it.
And his wife left him because he was invalid.
Yes. And then, and this is where I kind of came around on Cher, because she calls him out on his bullshit like immediately.
Yeah.
And they both do. She's like, she didn't leave you because of you cut off your hand. She left you because you wanted to find a reason to get her out of your life because you didn't want her around. And he just kind of goes, you don't know me. And she's like, yes, I see it. And I don't know if this scene fucking works. But yeah, the wolf thing. You chewed off your own paw to get out of the trap.
Which makes sense because it's Moonstruck.
Yes.
The full moon. He's a wolf. It all kind of ties in together. So there's a nice lyrical way of the screenplay.
I never thought we'd get to a point in our lives where we're sitting here doing a positive review of Moonstruck.
Yeah, isn't that weird how that happened?
It's so fucking weird.
It's a good movie. It's very good. I was like, you know what? This is actually, I'd watch this again.
I've seen it twice now.
I'd probably buy this.
If it's great. Today, I watched Peggy Sue All the Way. And then I was like, I'm going to skim through Moonstruck.
Yeah.
And it's only hour and a half, hour 40.
Yeah, it's to the point, yeah.
Flew by, Dick. I watched the entire thing. I didn't skim through it at all. I watched the entire movie.
Absolutely, yeah.
The movie trucks along. There's not a lot going on, but it is the dialogue is so fucking perfect. It's like a stage play. Like, it's so well written and polished. It reminded me of a play, like a really good play.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that goes back to the doubt factor, because he also wrote Doubt.
The guy's a playwright. It's obvious in his writing he's a playwright.
I didn't know he was a playwright before, so now it makes sense that that's why the movie plays like that. And Doubt's the same way. That's a really good movie that is really long for what it is, and it just you're done with it before you even realize it.
Right.
And have you seen Doubt?
I have not seen Doubt.
Not like an amazing movie, but it is a solid fucking movie. It's an actor's movie.
I think the Meryl Streep factor gets
in. Yeah, you don't like Meryl Streep. Creeps. No, but Philip Seymour Hoffman more than makes up for that.
Right, yeah. I'm watching for him.
He is so goddamn good in that movie.
Yeah.
That was an era of single word movies. There's another one, Stone. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
With, like, Edward Norton.
Yeah, nobody saw it.
Counts as terrible. Charlize Theron, is she in that one?
I think so. No, you know who's in it? It's the fucking girl from the Resident Evil movies.
Mila Jovovich?
Mila Jovovich, I think, is in Stone.
Really? Is that the one where she plays a junkie?
Probably.
I've seen the movie, and it's so forgettable.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of those movies that reminded me of each other back then, because they all had one name, one word titles. Yeah. But anyway.
California.
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck.
No, it's... I can't believe I like this movie and you like this movie. I never thought that would happen.
Yeah. I was shocked myself. I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually pretty fucking good.
It was a romance movie. And it worked. Even though it starts in adultery.
Well, yeah, basically. And I like that. I love that scene where she's like, Olympia Dukakis realizes that her husband of like 50 years is having an affair.
But she knew about him the whole time.
They juxtapose between the two characters. The sister and the other brother or whatever, where they say like they run the store, and they were saying like, "Oh, you look like you're 25 years old in that moonlight." Do I? And he starts to jump on his wife. It's so gross because they're both ugly, but that's supposed to be cute, but it's disgusting because they're old and I don't want to see that. But anyways, it's fine. It's cute.
I came,
but
so
in
much.
The movie, it came so hard. Oh my God, Moonstruck!
I thought I was gonna blow out my monitor.
Oh my God, fucking Moonstruck! Oh, I'll paint the moon white.
Moonstroke.
Moonstroke. It's fucking hot. I'm gonna watch Carmen or whatever, La Boheme or whatever the fucking opera they're watching.
Oh yeah. And that's when she sees her dad out with that woman.
Yes. Which, again, set up and payoff. That movie sets up with them putting up that sign for the, and then he has it in his apartment because he loves opera. That's his two favorite things is opera and bread making.
Because he's Italian.
Yes, he's Italian, apparently, yes.
He this movie's like, you're going to OD in Italian. It's insane. Because they're constantly playing Italian music throughout. And they got fucking Danny Aiello in this.
Yes. And you want to eat pasta after you see this movie, too, by the way.
Yeah. It's
it's like watching Goodfellas when they're eating all that food. They're like, oh, shit, I want some Italian food.
When I get Italian food, I go super Italian because I'll put a green olives in my pasta.
I hate green olives. No, it's gross. I can't do green olives.
I fucking love green
olives. I like black olives. I'll do black olives. I can't do green olives.
I don't like black olives that much. I grew up in the Midwest. Everything is pickled there because of how you survive a winter. So I'm used to like super bitter foods. So I fucking love green olives. I was thinking about this recently. That's why it came to my mind so fast.
Right.
Because my wife's like, why do you like all this stuff? I'm like, you used to have to survive a fucking winter, and you did that by pickling stuff. So I'm used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But I guess that makes sense. Like, it's the best explanation I can come up with.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because that was my favorite pizza topping, green olives, but you can never find
them. Wow, green olives. Yeah, I'd never see that.
Green olives and pineapple.
I see. Oh, God. Blah, blah, blah.
I like the juxtaposition on the flavors.
Oh, it's so terrible. No, but I just love that scene where Olivia Dukakis, I want you to stop seeing her. And he goes,
I want to play that.
Slams the table and he says, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. That's it.
We're talking about it, so let's talk about it. I want to play this scene real quick when we're done. Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Because you're expecting him to blow up at her.
Right.
Because he sits there and thinks about it, lowers his head, stands up real quick. They show the grandpa go, look up like, oh, fuck. And Cher's face during that scene. It's just like, you guys done? But he slaps the table.
Yeah.
And is like, okay. Sits down. Yeah, she's like,
I'm done. You're right.
You're going to go to confession.
I'm done.
Talk about it. And he's like, that's fair.
When I was thinking about this movie,
though, the kiss.
Yeah. And then like at the end, it's like, I'm sorry. And this is me begging for forgiveness at the end. And it's just all the characters were. It's so weird because it's so short. But they all have enough time where they're given equal opportunity to work in the movie. And you like everybody. Even Danny Aiello, you kind of like.
Yeah. Just like, he's part of the family at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end, your family. Come with the family. Come that, in here. At the end of the movie, they have that picture of all of them. It's sweet. It's really nice. It's like everybody's forgiving each other. You just move on, and that's what life is. You know, you fuck up, you move on, you get over it, and you start again. That's all you can do.
That scene continues where he slaps and he apologizes, kind of looks at her and blows the kiss. And then it goes to that couple who show up. And it's just people showing up. And they're like, hey, you have something to tell us? And she's like,
What are you talking about? And it's set up a payoff because why are they there? They're all going to be there at the end because the family has to be there together.
Yes.
So this is the reason why, because she forgot to deposit the money.
But that scene, I thought that scene works so somewhere. Well. This is what I'm saying. It feels like a stage play because all the characters are getting together in the same scene.
Right.
There's no dialogue about, I was waiting for the annoying, why is everyone in on my business here in this house? No.
This is just
how it is, and I'm fine with it. She didn't do the cliche thing of, can't we may leave, and then I just want to have a conversation with him alone. No. And it works so much better the way they did it, which is they show up and they're like, we just went to the bank. She's like, okay, you went to the bank. Oh, no. Oh, shit. And she realizes she forgot to put the deposit. And they're like, hey, we knew you didn't do it. Not accusing you.
We were just going to ask. We weren't sure.
And they clearly like.
I have it. I'm sorry. Oh,
they
my
were
God.
Definitely You're nervous because right. there's probably 10, 12 grand in that envelope.
It was a lot of cash.
Yeah, I forget how much they said.
It's a giant fucking stack of cash. Like, oh, my God. Oh.
They're just like,
oh,
okay, we're good. All right. And they sit down.
Some food.
I was a little bothered because the husband sits down and the wife's standing there, and I'm like, Nick Cage.
They shot the same
Come on, bro.
I was saying, hey, come on. You got to let her sit down, honey. Come on now.
You got to let the old lady sit down.
And she's just kind of sitting there standing. I think she's looking at him, too. She's like,
"It's right.
Why aren't you getting up? Why aren't you giving me a seat? I'm fucking 60. But yeah. Then again, this is 1986, so maybe she's 52. And she looks like she's 78.
This is why she won an Oscar, this scene right here.
Yeah, pretty much. Your yeah, it's all it takes.
Is not built on nothing. Te amo.
Te amo.
Anch'io te amo.
You realize how hard it is to make a guy like this cry?
Yeah, I wonder if te amo means I love you.
It does.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. But right. A guy like this doesn't know how to cry.
Right.
So yeah, it's a big moment for him. But then they show up at the door, and then Daniello shows up.
I can't marry you. What?
It does feel a little sitcom-y at the end.
A little bit, but yeah, but it worked.
He walks in and just lets her off the hook, and she's almost pissed that you broke it off.
But also at the beginning of the movie, where they say, "I'm engaged to him." Why? I don't like him. He's not that great.
Yeah.
He gave me this ring. It's a pinky ring. Why is that even a ring? He can't even give me a ring. Who's this guy?
I like that he goes, so I do need the ring back.
Yeah, exactly. Can I have that ring back? And Nicolas Cage, I want to borrow your ring.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it's fine.
I like that Nick Cage wastes no time asking her to marry him.
Yeah.
Because she yells at him for a second, and he's like, hey, sit down. Like,
yes. Yeah, I want to marry you. I love you. I'm the wolf.
Oh, this is another great fucking line. This made me laugh. where can I find it? Sorry. It's the grandpa.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. John Mahoney's in this movie. They were talking about him. John Mahoney shows up in this movie.
Can I borrow that ring?
Okay, here it is. It's like right after this. With all these characters crammed in a little room.
It
works so well.
And they're all in there for the various reasons.
I just want to share that line that the grandpa has. I'm trying not to skip over it. There it is. Yeah, okay, 137.09. I'll just play it from here. Fuck it.
Loretta Castorini.
I'll play it.
Marry me?
I'll share the screen in a second. I know we got in trouble from one of the studios.
Yes, Ronnie. In front of all these people, I'll marry you.
Do you love him, Loretta?
Ma, I love him awful.
Oh, God, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Again, I love all of these characters.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's too bad.
It's funny without being too stupid funny. Like, they're not trying. Right. I did watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I was so annoyed.
Oh,
everyone's doing a fucking performance, and I'm like,
it's over the top.
Let the characters just do their own thing.
Yeah, I think it's just so broad.
But I laughed so fucking hard here at the grandpa.
Well, you know why? You know why it's so broad though? It was a one woman show.
Okay, they cut to the. Hold on, we'll talk about that in a second. The dad's right here.
What's the matter, Pop? I'm confused.
Because she was engaged to that guy. He comes in, breaks it up. She's with the brother. And
I'm confused. And then he goes over and he.
Oh.
Of course, this Danielle to come in because he's like, "Your family, get over here."
Yeah.
Family, get over here.
And he said it's a one woman show.
Fucking. What a great movie. It's just like, wow. Because again, I was kind of like, Moonstruck. And finally watched it. No, it's good. Like I said, I might fucking buy this on Criterion. It's $40 on Criterion. I might buy it. I have
the regular Blu-ray.
Well, just the reason I buy the Criterion is because they have interviews with the writer, and there's new interviews. With everybody talking about the legacy.
I thought you were saying nudity.
There's tons of nudity in this version.
Criterion doesn't fuck around.
You get that scene where she's dying her pubes because she has great pubes. They make them black again. It's hot, so hot.
You see right up inside her, the Bono the best hole. Part,
and the best, like Witches of Eastwick with Cher. There's that. You ever see Witches of Eastwick?
No.
It's funny. It's actually that movie we should maybe watch next for the next time. It's Jack Nicholson's the devil, and she's a woman in this town, and he's trying to seduce her, and she basically says he basically gets her in her bedroom. And he's laying on the bed. He goes, "I want to fuck you." And Cher just looks at him. And she goes, no. She goes, frankly, I find you disgusting, horrible. She has all these, she just keeps going off on him. And she goes, oh, and by the way, you stink. You have an odor. You're disgusting. Well, nothing to do with you physically or mentally. You make me sick on every level. It's pretty funny. And he just kind of looks at her and he goes, oh, yeah. And then he breaks her down because he's the devil. He can break her down. And he just destroys her in a second. And she's like seduced and he gets her. But the way that he says, I want to fuck you. And she just looks at him.
Now I want to watch it.
It's funny.
It's one of those movies I've always wanted to watch. Again, I put it on the HID list. But
yeah, no, when Jack Nicholson is getting attacked because he tries to kill one of them because he's very jealous. He's the devil. That's the point. And they try to attack him. It's fucking hilarious. It's pretty. There's some dark shit in it, and it's pretty. It's funny. It's a George Miller movie.
And after they
George
fuck,
Miller directed it.
After they fuck, this is what she says to him.
Julie, I
swallowed your cum. That means
it's true.
That means something, David.
Yeah, the movie in which is a V-swing.
See, I always had a problem with Cher. She just drives. She annoys me.
Now she's worse.
Yeah, she's become just plastic.
Yes, she's not even human anymore.
But I was kind of watching this, and I'm like, kind of got a thing for Cher in this movie. Kind of didn't expect
right.
that.
Like, you can see that there was something about her. Yeah. Like, she could be hot, yeah. But now she's so fucking plastic. It's like,
yeah. She's
basically a walking iPhone.
She's a Madame Tussauds wax figure.
She's got an otter case, and it's her skin. She falls down, she won't crack.
Yes.
Like, you could throw her down a flight of stairs.
I have fallen down the stairs.
She's not like terms. She's not like Death Becomes Her. She'd break apart in pieces.
Yeah.
She'd be solid.
She would break the concrete.
She would break the concrete, absolutely.
Yes, Cher, again, this is a movie for me that's just red flags all around.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage is pretty fucking good in it.
Yeah, he is.
Solid. And
what is the levels of Cage? So we're comparing these movies. You have your comparison list.
Oh, yeah, I'll bring up
the level of Cage, level of acting, level of movie quality.
I would say Peggy Sue is Quirk Cage. And this is kind of Rage Cage. He yells a lot.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, absolutely.
But I do put him above in Moonstruck. This is the quality of Cage.
Right.
I got Moonstruck at 28, Peggy Sue at 34.
Yeah, I can see that. Wicker Man. Wow, you put Peggy Sue right above Wicker Man.
There's a big drop off there.
Wow.
It's not because they're close. It's because of, you know, I could lower Wicker Man, honestly, but whatever.
Because Wicker Man is like bottom
again,
of the barrel
there's,
quality of Cage.
Well, we're talking about quality versus entertainment.
Okay, well, granted.
Yes. So I was struggling early on with the list of how to rank these, and I could definitely go through with a finer tooth comb. We ain't found shit. And go through this list.
His performances.
All right, so here's the quality of the movies. I do put Peggy Sue just above Moonstruck.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Just like I gave them both sevens, by the way.
Right, yeah.
I gave Moonstruck just a little bit less because I like Peggy Sue resonated more with me.
Right.
Because I think it resonates with anyone more, honestly. But mm-hmm. both of them are way, way higher than I would have ever, ever guessed. And that is a testament to both filmmakers.
See, I would have put this above Dream Scenario.
Oh, I don't know. I like Dream Scenario, but...
I don't know. The Rock? I kind of like Moonstruck more than I like The Rock.
Honestly. Oh, God, I didn't realize The Rock was that high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
I'm a guy that doesn't like The Rock as much as most people.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, oh, wow, Rock's pretty high on there.
No, again, there are some flaws. Yeah, I'll sit down one day and just go through that list and really rank them.
Yeah, movie quality versus Rage Cage.
Because right now I'm just adding them in. I'm not
right.
You know, it's hard. You don't know how hard it is being me, okay?
It's tough. I can't imagine. With fucking five kids. And your Nick Cage obsession, and you have to go and get every Nick Cage movie, not only see it in the theater, but get it on DVD, which is getting harder to get now because they're not making those anymore.
No. You gotta buy every goddamn movie. I do want to say our next Nick Cage movies, but what are they? Hold on one second. Go ahead and wrap up.
No, Moonstruck were the more successful movie out of the two because it won the Oscars and it won Best Screenplay, Best Supporting Actress, Olympia Dukakis, and Best Actress Cher. And again, Nick Cage was not considered for this role. Cher had a fight for him.
Got it.
You'd think, because Cher's pretty good, or Nick Cage is good in the movie. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it. And again, I'll probably end up buying this movie because I liked it that much. And even John Mahoney thinks that he got the Frasier role because of this movie. Because he said this was the first movie that people saw me in that sort of had a response to the audience, as opposed to other movies that he's made where he didn't really make a dent in the performance.
And he took those notes that he got, the viewers and the just the praise, and he put that into all of his scenes with Eddie the dog.
Yes.
No, but I was going to say the next two movies we're doing are two early movies that Cage did. Even earlier than these two. Racing with the Moon.
Wow.
Where he plays a army guy with Sean Penn.
Sure.
I get confused because it has racing in it, and this one is about racing boats. So that's why I had a pause there.
The and Boy in Birdie, isn't Birdie a Vietnam movie too?
Yeah.
It's a war movie.
Yeah, the Boy in Blue is the one we're reversing. So Racing with the Moon and The Boy in Blue, two early ones. He's got
awful.
His six-pack there. I have seen both of these. They're both fine. They're both...
It's kind of mediocre.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good as today. Today was the closest we've ever had that I was like... Honestly... If I watch them again, maybe I like Moonstruck more than Peggy Sue.
I like them both equally enjoyable.
So, which one are you voting for with better?
I'm gonna say Moonstruck edged out because won Oscars.
I like the fact that we're a tie.
That puts it to that limit.
Tie.
Yes. All right. Both
I like
equally
that.
Good.
It's honestly they're that close.
Yeah, they're very
good. Very similar. I didn't realize how similar they would be.
Yeah.
Just as far as like
it's about relationships.
Both really funny and somber at the same time.
Yeah.
And all the characters feel real in both movies, and they're both so thought out and well written.
Yeah.
Unlike the other Francis Ford Coppola movies that Cage is in, which suck and are okay at best. Rumblefish sucks.
Rumblefish, you know, and Cotton Club?
Cotton Club is fine. It's
I don't think I've seen either of them. Was he in The Outsiders?
No.
Go figure.
Everyone else is in The Outsiders.
Everybody else is in it. Yeah, exactly.
Every single Brat Pack member.
That's interesting. That's a very interesting choice.
Until next time. In the meantime, I'm Phoenix West.
See you tonight.
So long, citizens. Goodbye. We must leave. It's time to go. No one will save you. No time travel. No pop stars. Not even a convenient breakup, I think is what it said.
Very good.
All right, bye-bye. Bye, 8 robots.
We love you.